smartphone, DSTV channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
7:37 and time to talk food. Glorious food. I know I'm off key. I know I can't sing, but so what? This is the time of the show when we talk to author, anthropologist, food journalist, restaurant critic, Anna Trepido, and of course, a chef as well. We're talking to Anna about the comfort of crumble. Right? The comfort of crumble. I want you to tell me more about this, Anna. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Anna. Why is crumble so darn comforting when we need it most?
Look, I think the first thing to say is that we really need to acknowledge that right now nothing is going to be, you know, nothing's going to entirely make the problem go away.
Sure.
You know, that we are cold and broke and frightened, and you know, nothing's going to make that okay. That you know, that there are foods that can help a bit, and if you are in a lucky position to be able to kind of nurture yourself in those ways, you need to acknowledge how lucky that is. But you know, what's wonderful about a crumble is, you know, that it is, it's as though it were made for these circumstances. It is warm, mm-hmm. it's cheap, it's delicious, and it's made with ingredients that most of us have in the house already. You mm-hmm. know, that you don't want some giant cooking project that requires you to go up and down the shelves, you know, searching out fancy spices.
Sure.
And, you know, you just want to be able to stay at home and make a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, again, I have to say, it does require electricity. So it requires Eskom to play ball.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if the electricity goes off at that point, you know, there's nothing to suggest that at that point, sulking is the only way to go. But so, yeah, crumble is as close to a kind of deep midwinter coronavirus horror solution that we're going to find right now.
Yeah, and not to say or not to speak of, you know, just the amazing smells filling the house and just giving everyone a what's the word, olfactory hug, and just saying, you know, somebody yeah. is in that kitchen baking and cooking for you and thinking of you, right?
It does a kind of three-dimensional love thing, doesn't it, crumble? And, you know, there are savory things that do it, but they're often quite culturally specific. So
yeah.
people disagree about what they are. So some people will say that, you know, their savory comfort food hug is tripe. You know, for other people, it's bobuerti.
I'm one of those people with the tripe, yeah.
Crumble crosses cultural categories in a way that the savory things, and I think maybe next week we should look at why certain things say I love you in different cultures and not in others.
Lovely.
But crumble kind of does it for all of us, which is lucky that it tastes great, you know, that we all acknowledge. But also, you're right that there is a kind of three-dimensional experience because the smell of it, you know, the combination of sort of bubbling fruit and spices just says I love you before you've even put anything in your mouth. The smell of it does that.
Yeah.
That there's a kind of textural thing that's partly, you know, literally the crumble, that sort of pebbly quality of the butter and sugar and flour kind of topping, but also, you know, the way that the fruit juices bubble up through that crumble layer and make almost a kind of, if you're lucky, they sort of caramelize into a sort of toffee.
Yes.
So you get the sort of fruity sugar thing, so that you've got multiple layers. You've got a really three-dimensional hug going on. And then it's just the fact that it's easy and I think foolproof that even if you burn it, it is still quite nice, but don't burn it, obviously. That for people that are pastry challenged, you know, making a pie where there's rolling and accurate measurements and blind baking and all of that, that can be quite complicated. A crumble is easy. A crumble always tells you how clever you are to have made something so delicious. It's like the world's best food friend.
You've almost tricked me into wanting to try to make it, but I feel as though I should just leave this in my husband's territory. He's the baker in the house. We'll leave it to him. Talk to me about the origins, Anna, of a crumble. Quite humble beginnings.
Well, and I really do think you should try a crumble because you don't need to be the baker in your house. You know, that crumble is, I promise you, it could not be easier. But the thing about crumble is people imagine that it's very ancient. You know, when you're eating it, you feel as though you're having this kind of almost apostolic succession of endless mothers hugging over endless generations back through time to eternity. That actually crumbles are quite recent. You know, that the first time they appear in cookbooks is in the late 1940s. And the Oxford Companion to Food suggests that actually they're a creation of English rationing during the Second World War, that they are an alternative to pastry when people didn't have the ingredients and they couldn't afford to get things wrong, you know. Uh-huh. So again, sure, you know, the pastry challenge for saying, I'm not going to take on, you know, I've got this tiny little bit of butter, I'm not going to waste it doing something that could go wrong. But a crumble is a really kind of easy, quick, cheap alternative to pastry. And because you can make it with any fat, you know, obviously everything is better with butter. You know, that's just one of the sad rules of the universe. But, you know, you can actually make it with any fat, and people did during the Second World War. And you can make it with any kind of flour thing. So, you know, you can be enormously posh and do, and I have on occasions, and it is delicious. You know, you can use crushed amaretti biscuits and bits of cardamom seed and go sort of super fancy. I think right now that's not where our heads are at.
Yeah.
You really want the very simple crumbles that are essentially flour, butter, sugar, bit of fruit.
And you've got a recipe as well that you swear by when it comes to the simple crumble.
Well, you know, Nigel Slater has got a lovely book that, and again, you can actually both get it as a an audio book, and you can get it online. You could order it in, it could come to you. That's called Real Fast Puddings. And he makes the world's simplest crumble that just has four ingredients, and it is lovely. So it's 175 grams of cake flour that you blend either in your food processor or just rubbing in by hand as though you were making scones, with 175 grams of butter. And when you've rubbed that till it looks like coarse breadcrumbs, you stir in 100 grams of caster sugar, and you sprinkle over a little bit of water till it comes together and looks like tiny pebbles. And that you simply, so there's your crumble mixture, and then you do whatever stewed fruit you want as your base. So he uses apples and blackberries, which is quite sort of English. But, you know, right now, for instance, there are guavas in the shop. Guava makes a lovely crumble.
Yeah.
But pears, plums, apricots, whatever floats your boat. And you put, so you put your stewed fruit at the base. You turn the oven up good and high, so, you know, between 180 and 200 degrees centigrade. And you put your crumble over the top of that stewed fruit mixture. And you bake it until it's golden brown and the fruit juices are starting to bubble up through the crumble, just to make that sort of like deliciously caramelized sort of oozy thing going on.
So Anna, sorry, time, galloping away.
No. Well, look, what I'll do is I will put on my Instagram all the alternatives, because you can get so posh with almonds and bits of pumpkin seed and stuff, or you can just go Nigel Simple, and Nigel Simple is wonderful.
And give us that handle once again.
Okay, so I am at Trapedo territory. I've only just woken up, so I haven't done it yet. Give me half an hour and I will have put that that thing there. But, you know, crumbles are really God's gift to cold, frightening days.
And really quickly, how sweet should it be? I like mine not so sweet, but how do I temper that tartness? Do you put anything else with your on your crumble when you serve?
You know what I like to do? I like to keep the actual fruit quite tart. So But you can put as much sugar as you like into your fruit base. But I like to keep mine with almost no sugar in the fruit base. And then I sweeten up the crust, the crumble crust. And then, you know, what can be wonderful, but again, this would require you to go out and really, guys, just stay indoors and snuggle if you can.
Sure.
But you can, you know, vanilla ice cream. So you can sweeten up from the outside. So custard, vanilla ice cream, or even, you know, if you were clever enough, either to have someone who had given you a sweet wine, or, you know, you got it together to think before the booze shops closed on Thursday night.
Sure.
That I had last week, I made a guava crumble that I had with a Rustenburg straw wine. And, you know, that added just enough sweetness to my quite tart guava filling. So there was the sweet acidity, but the balance of the acidity, it wasn't too icky sweet, but the crumble, there was the crunch, there was the ooze of the juice, fruit juices, there was the butteriness that, you know, that was enormously comforting in difficult times.
Lovely stuff. I feel like we need to add a sort of ASMR element to our food conversations so people can hear the crunch and the smack of the lips as we talk as well.
Remember when you were small and there were those stickers you could get that you could scratch and sniff?
Absolutely.
I want a scratch and sniff radio show.
Let's do it. We'll work on it. Anna Trepeda, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again next week.
Pleasure. Thank you.
You keep well until then.